భగవతి వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో నష్ట ప్రాయషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికే. So today is Madhavendra Puri's appearance day and also the appearance day of Srila Srinivas Acharya. So I was just noticing that this verse has a very long purport of Srimad Bhagavatam. So what I'll do is I'll leave it for tomorrow's class and we'll discuss about Madhavendra Puri's life and Srila Srinivas Acharya. Actually, if I thought of it earlier, then I would have got one particular verse written on the board. Anyway, so I'll just read that verse. This is a verse that Madhavendra Puri recited before leaving this planet. And from this, we can actually understand that Madhavendra Puri, although took initiation in Madhva Sampradaya, but his relationship was with Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. And he, because of that, has been considered the seed or the seedling of the tree of Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Krishna prem. That Krishna prem was not available to this world before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami called or glorified Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the prayers, Namo Mahavadanaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been glorified or identified as the most munificent of all the appearances of Krishna. Why? Because Krishna Prema Pradayate. Because he gives Krishna Prema. This Krishna Prema was not available to this world before. অনর্পিত চরিচিরা করুণায়াবতী. শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু অ্যাপিয়ার্ড ইন অর্ডার টু বিস্টো সামথিং দ্যাট ওয়াজ নট অ্যাভেলেবল ফর আ লং লং টাইম. সো দ্যাট কৃষ্ণ প্রেম ইজ সো রেয়ার, ইট ওয়াজ ইভেন রেয়ার ফর লর্ড ব্রহ্মা, ফর লর্ড শিবা, ইভেন ফর লক্ষ্মী. That is how rare Krishna prema actually is. And this was anarpita, was not given before. Arpan means to give and anarpita means that was not given. So that is how precious Krishna prema is. And this Krishna prema has been compared to a tree. Krishna prema kalpa vriksha. In the tree, Madhavendra Puri is the first seedling. The tree of Krishna Prem started to sprout with Madhavendra. And Nityananda Prabhu is the trunk of the tree. Bhaja Nityanandam Bhajana Tarukandam Niravati. That the tree of devotion, tree of pure devotion, the trunk of that tree, then there are different branches of the tree, And the fruit of the tree is pure love of Krishna in Madhurya. Jaya jaya jalo rasho sarva rasa sar parokiya bhave ja rojete. It has been described as all glory to the most brilliant and most elevated of all mellows, Madhurya rasa, and which has been manifested in parokiya bhave jaha rojete, which has been manifested in Vrindavan. So that was first given by or brought into or manifested in this world by Madhurya. Now I will read this word from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, chapter 4. This chapter describes Sri Madhavendra Puri's devotional service. Text 197. Oi Dina Dayarda Natha, E Mathura Natha, Kadavala Kashi, Sridayam Tad Aloko Kataram Duita, Brahmati, King Karam. It's a pity that we won't be able to read it together. I'll just read the word for word in translation. The purport. Oi. O my Lord,
Dina,
on the poor, Daya Ardra,
compassionate,
Natha,
O Master,
Hey.
O
Mathura Natha, the Master of Mathura, Kada,
when,
Avalokkashe,
I shall see you.
Hridayam.
My heart.
Twat.
Of you.
Aloka.
Without seeing.
Kataram.
Very much aggrieved.
Doita.
O most beloved.
Brahmati.
Becomes overwhelmed.
Kim. What? Karomi. Shall do.
Aham.
I. Translation by Divine Grace. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do? O my Lord,
O most merciful Master,
O Master of Mathura,
when shall I see you again?
Because of my not seeing you,
my agitated heart
has become unsteady. O most beloved one,
What shall I do now?
Very good. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on the Vedanta philosophy are divided into four sampradayas or transcendental parties. Out of the four sampradayas, the Sri Madhvacharya sampradaya was accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Thus, he took sannyas according to parampara, the disciplic succession, beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the acharya named Lakshmipati. There was no realization of devotional service in conjugal love. Beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the acharya named Lakshmipati, there was no realization of devotional service in conjugal love. Sri Madhavendra Puri introduced the concept of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya sampradaya. This conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured South India and met the Tattvavadis, who supposedly belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service in separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Mathura Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks of himself as a very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus, he addresses the Lord as Dino Dayardhanatha, as did Madhavendra Puri. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. Because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus, "My dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor, and you are very merciful. So kindly have compassion upon me, and let me know when I shall see you." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing the ecstatic emotion of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Mathura Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feeling experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri. All the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Mathura Sampradaya accept this principle of devotional service. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada actually makes two points. First point he made is that although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted initiation in the Madhva Sampradaya, in the Sampradaya of Madhvacharya, but what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave was not present in that Sampradaya until Madhavendra Puri. All the way from Madhvacharya down to Lakshmipati, Madhavendra Puri's spiritual master, this love, this devotional relationship, spiritual love for Krishna in the Madhurya Rasa, the conjugal mellow, especially in separation, was not available. And that has become very clearly manifest when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met the Tattvavadi in Puri. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling to South India, he came to the Peter, or the main seat of Madhva Sampradaya. And there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having a discussion with the Acharya of the Madhva Sampradaya. And Mahaprabhu pointed out that you say the goal of life is to attain liberation. But in the scripture, it is said that beyond liberation is devotional service. Therefore, how can you say, although you are aspiring for liberation in the four positive ways, namely Sarupya, Salakya, Samyakya and Shashti, but still that liberation has been rejected in Shiva. Diyamana nagrinhanti vina matsevana. That even if liberation is given to my devotees don't want it. Without devotional service. So the devotee's ultimate goal is to render unconditional devotional service to the Lord, not liberation. That has been very clearly mentioned, very clearly explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met the Tattvavadis. And in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enlightened them with the higher understanding or higher platform of devotion service. That is, Prabhupada is saying here Madhavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured southern India and met the Tattvavadis, who supposedly belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. So here we can also see that the Tattvavadis, although they claimed that they were the true followers of Madhvacharya, but still they were not in reality. Because there was something more that Madhvacharya wanted to reveal that his so-called followers. And that gift of Madhvacharya was perfectly manifested through the gift of Sri Chaitanya. And it has also been explained that all the four Sampradaya Acharyas actually came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also accepted four different principles of the four Sampradaya. And he presented that to Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And recently, I just got to know it came actually from Atma Tattva Prabhu when he was touring southern India. He came across one very, very elevated sannyasi. You see, in southern India, the sannyasis take or rather surrender to some more advanced sannyasi, who is considered to be the most advanced sannyasi of the time. They surrender. So this particular person is actually the personality of sannyasi who has been recognized as the most advanced sannyasi. And thousands of sannyasis are surrendered. And when he saw Srila Prabhupada's picture, and yeah, he actually is an expert also in Shamudrik Shastra. Shamudrik Shastra is a scripture that gives you the ability to recognize a person just by seeing his appearance. Like we remember from Srimad Bhagavatam that when Sukadeva Goswami arrived, just by the appearance of Sukadeva Goswami, everyone could recognize that he is a very, very advanced. Now, that is the Shamudrik Shastra. So, when this particular sannyasi saw the picture of Srila Prabhupada, guess what he commented? He said that all the four Sampradaya Acharyas have manifested in Srila Prabhupada. Now we can see, it is so relevant, all the four Sampradayas merge into the teachings of Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted different aspects, four different aspects from four different sampradayas. And there are four Vaishnava sampradayas, nothing beyond that. This Madhva, Sri, Brahma, Brahma, Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Nimbarka Sampradaya, Rudra Sampradaya, and Kumar Sampradaya, these are the four bona fide sampradayas. Now, all these four sampradayas actually came under the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teaching. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also accepted the four different principles of the four different sampradayas. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent his representative to fulfill his prediction that Krishna consciousness would spread in every town and village, in that personality, all the four Acharyas manifest. And that is Srila Prabhupada. So then, Prabhupada is explaining that the highest form of devotion is not only devotion in conjugal, but in separation. The loving devotion has two types or two aspects. One is called vipralamba, one is called shambhog, and the other is called vipralamba. Shambhog means union. When the devotees are with Krishna, that is the aspect of devotion called sambhog. But when the devotees are separated from Krishna, that is called vipralamba. And it is considered that the loving devotion in separation is higher than the devotion in union. And the highest form of devotion is in vipralamba. As Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami also described, jayo jayo jalo raso, sarbo raso shar. There are five different mellows. Neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental, and conjugal. Of all these five, the conjugal is the highest. And of this, parokhya bhava means in separation. Jaha brojete brocha. The mellow that is present in Golok Vrindavan in separation. And that was presented by Sri Chaitanya. And here we see that Madhavendra Puri, long before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, also was experiencing that love for Sri Krishna. Oye dina dayardha natha, oye mathura natha, kada avalok kashi. O Lord of Mathura, Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. So Srimati Radharani is praying to Krishna or appealing to Krishna that, my Lord, O Krishna, you left Vrindavan and went to Mathura and there you have Mathura. Kada avalok kashi, when shall I see? Now, this appeal is so intense, we can consider the intensity of this appeal to Krishna. The gopis, when they were with Krishna, they couldn't bear the separation of even a wink of an eye. The time that they couldn't see Krishna due to their closing of eyes. They blame Brahma. They were criticizing. The Brahma, what kind of creator you are? You have created the eyelids that drops from time to time, closing our vision. Because of that time, that momentary separation or the momentary inability to perceive Krishna, even that they couldn't bear to tolerate. And now Krishna was gone for such a long time. So how they must have been feeling? So that is what she is praying. Dino dayato natho mathura natho kada avalokyasi, when shall I see? And Hridayam Tada Aloko Kataram. My heart is very much afflicted due to not being able to see. Doita, O my beloved, my heart is afflicted. So what shall I do? And that's the time Srimati Radharani wished that she could die. Of course, Radharani is purely spiritual, but the feeling was there that I wish. So this devotion to Krishna in the mellow, in the mood of separation, the way the residents of Vrindavan experienced it, that was presented by Sri Chaitanya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the mood of Sri Chaitanya. And the same mood was also experienced by Madhavendra before that year of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Madhavendra Puri has been considered as the Omkur. Bhakti Kalpa Vrikshet Deho Prathamo Omkur. He is the first sibling of the devotional tree, the tree of devotion, the desire tree of devotion. Today is Madhavendra Puri's appearance day. Actually, Madhavendra Puri is an wonderful exemplary devotee. It has been described that that Madhavendra Puri was so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that he did not have any consciousness for hunger and sleep. Whenever somebody gave him some food, he would eat. He would not even bake. And he would sleep anywhere. He was just wandering from one place of pilgrimage to another place of pilgrimage. And getting absorbed in devotion to Krishna while visiting those places of Krishna's pastimes. And when Madhavendra Puri came to Vrindavan, he just didn't bother to collect some food to eat. So he just went and sat under it. He came near the forest and sat under a tree. And at that time, one little boy came up to him with a pot full of milk. He gave it to him. And he said that the village women have sent me with this milk. They said that you have come here. So, yeah, when actually the milk was brought to him, Madhavendra Puri asked him, how do you know that I didn't have anything? And this boy said, well, the ladies in the village actually noticed when he came, and they saw that you didn't eat anything the whole day. And therefore they sent him. And the boy said that, you please drink the milk and I'll come later on to collect the pot. So while Madhavendra Puri was drinking that milk, milk was so delicious, as if this is not from this world. And he waited till quite late at night, but the boy didn't come back to collect the pot. And then he suspected probably this boy is none other than the Lord of Krishna. And that night Madhavendra Puri had a dream. He had a dream that Krishna came to him and said that he was feeling very hungry. He was actually left in the forest when the Muslims invaded Vrindavan, when the Pujari kept Madhav, Gopal, there and left. And for a long, long time, there was no, he didn't have any treatment or any food to eat. So he was feeling very hungry and he requested Madhavendra Puri to rescue him. So Madhavendra Puri quickly woke up and he ran to the village and told the village people about his dream. And those days the village people also were so serious that they didn't think that this was somebody's dream and disregard that. They actually took the dream also very seriously. And they came with their shovel and axe. And then they cut open the way to the forest, came to that place, which was like a small little mound, and they started to dig that place. And very soon they found a beautiful form of Gopal. Beautiful Gopal. So they brought the deities, bathed him with hundreds of pots of water from the holy kunda there, and all the people there cooked various delicious items offered that to Gopal. And Gopal was established there. And later on that Gopal was taken out away from Vrindavan to Rajasthan. Actually, Muslim time, the deities were so much under the threat of their attack that often the deities were actually taken away from them. And they were taken to Rajasthan, the land of the Indian Kshatriya, the Hindu king, Kshatriya king, who gave the
in this way, Govindaji's deity was taken out of Vrindavan. Gopinath deity, all the principal deities of Vrindavan were actually taken away. And this Gopal deity also was taken away to Nathadwar. And these deities being worshipped still today, and Srinath, who is very dear to the Gujarati community. Actually, Srinath is dear to everyone, all the devotees. But somehow the Gujaratis are very fond of Srinath. Because later on, Vallabhacharya Sampradaya got the worship of the deity. And that's why Vallabhacharya has a great influence on the Gujarati community. They became very fond of Srinath. So, Madhavendra Puri then gave the service of worshipping the deities to some of his disciples, and then he decided to travel. Gopal, in summer, Vrindavan becomes very hot. How many of you have been to Vrindavan in summer? So you all know how it is like. Actually, people even die. There's a thing, a hot wind blows in summer. That's called Lu. And if that air enters through your ear hole, then you better watch out. Therefore, people don't go out. And even if they do, they wrap their ear holes, they cover their ear holes with cloth, like they kind of wear a turban that covers their ears. And so hot. So Gopal was feeling hot. So Gopal told Madhavendra, "Look, I'm feeling very hot, so please make some arrangement for some cooling agent. So get me some sandalwood pulp. Get me some sandalwood and camphor." So Madhavendra Puri, just being instructed by Gopal in this way, he set out for the eastern part of India, which is about 2,000 kilometers from Vrindavan. Those days there was no roadways. One had to practically walk through the forest. And so Madhavendra Puri set out to bring the sandalwood. And he went and appealed to the king of Odisha, who was a very pious person, and told him that he wanted a sandalwood and camphor. And the king immediately made arrangements. And he also made arrangements for people to carry that load. And on the way, Madhavendra Puri stopped in Gopinath temple, Remuna. And there, Gopinath appeared to him. And he said, "Madhavendra, you don't have to go all the way back to Vrindavan. You do one thing. You make a paste out of the sandalwood, make a sandalwood paste and mix it with camphor, and you apply to my body. And when my body becomes cool, then Gopal's body also will become cool, because there is no difference between me and Gopal." So Madhavendra Puri did that. He stayed there in Remuna for the whole month. While he was going to Jagannath Puri to meet the king, he stopped on the way, he stopped in Remuna also. And Remuna is a place where they offer some condensed milk. They cook down the milk and make it into kheer, condensed milk, and then they offer it to the Lord. And that kheer is famous all over the world. Because, and still today, the taste, anyone, how many of you tasted Gopinath's kheer? And did you ever taste any condensed milk like that ever? Never. I mean, even today, one can see that how special that kheer is. And actually for hundreds of generations, there are cowherd folk who are living in that village. Their business is simply to tend cows for Gopinath.
and they make the kheer, and they supply the milk to make the kheer. And that's still going on, still today it is going on. So, Madhavendra Puri heard about the kheer that is offered to Gopinath. So when the offering was going on, Madhavendra Puri felt, oh, if I could get some taste of the kheer, then I also could have made the same kind of kheer and offer it to my Gopal. But right after that, right after thinking in that way, Madhavendra Puri felt very guilty. You see, the Lord's offering hasn't been completed. The Lord is still taking the bhoga, and I desire to eat it. I'm so fallen. I'm so lusty. And he felt so guilty that he immediately left. Then he went to a place nearby, in a marketplace, and he decided to spend the night there. It may sound strange that he wanted to spend the night in a marketplace, but actually the marketplaces in India those days were quite different from the marketplaces of today. Right? In India, the market used to set in a particular place only twice a week. And that place used to have some sort of bamboo structure with a very simple shed. The shops are four bamboos and with a thatched roof. That also is not like this. One piece of thatched roof. And people would come with their goods to sell, and they would rent one of those shops. And then in the evening, they would leave the place. So, throughout the week, the other days of the week, the whole place would remain empty. No one would even go there. Or what to speak of at night. Not a single soul would be there. So, Madhavendra Puri decided to spend the night there because it was completely isolated and there was some shade. So, Madhavendra Puri decided to spend the night there. In the meantime, the pujari, after putting the deities to sleep, he went to sleep. And when he was fast asleep, he woke up with the call of Gopinath. Gopinath said, get up. Woke him up and said, look, there is a devotee of mine in the marketplace. He's taking rest in the marketplace. So you go and give him some kheer. So pujari said, where kheer? All the kheer. No, and Gopinath said, no, I kept one pot of kheer. I kept it aside. So, you give him that kheer. So the pujari took his bath and went to the temple. And he found that true to his dream, Gopinath was hiding one pot of kheer behind his cloth. So, he took that kheer and he could recognize that this devotee must be a very, very dear devotee of Krishna, dear devotee of Gopinath. That Gopinath stole kheer for him and he is sending it to him. So he went over there to the marketplace, called out to Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri responded and he said, Gopinath sent some kheer. So Madhavendra And then the pujari told him the whole story, that how Gopinath stole Remuna. From that time, due to that incident, Gopinath in Remuna has become known as Kheer Chor. Kheer means condensed milk, chor means thief. Gopinath who stole condensed milk. the thief of Kanyasundara. And Madhavendra Puri was so afraid of name and fame that he felt that if he stayed there that night, then the next morning all kinds of people will come to see. And he decided that to leave that place. And that night only Madhavendra Puri left. And he took the kheer that Gopinath sent for him, and he kept the pot, and he every day he took some part of the clay pot. He ate some parts of the clay pot, and this way he considered the clay pot also an prasad of Krishna. And then it has been mentioned that although Madhavendra Puri ran away out of the fear of fame, but Vaishnavi Pratishtha, the Pratishtha, the fame of a Vaishnava, ran after. Although Madhavendra Puri wanted to avoid name and fame, but the Vaishnava, by the mercy of Krishna, become glorified. Although they lead a very, very insignificant life away from everyone's eyes, but still, Vaishnava's glory, Vaishnava's become most glorious, because Krishna makes it a point to glorify the Vaishnava. We have seen so many so-called famous people have come and gone. They are forgotten. I remember I was very surprised the first time I met a Greek man. I asked him whether he knew Alexander. I thought Alexander, he was Greek, so all the Greeks must know him. That person unfortunately or fortunately didn't know who was Alexander the Great. So this is how the material fame is like. He wanted to conquer the world to become famous, risking his own life, and finally he gave his life away from his homeland. But for how long did this fame last? Even in Greece people don't know.
Only some fools in India like me
And but Madhavendra Puri, apparently, who was Madhavendra Puri? Apparently he is just a mendicant. If one saw him, probably he would think that he's just a beggar. Just like dressed in very simple worn out clothes. Wandering around like a madman.
But Madhavendra Puri, because he is a pure devotee of Krishna, he is glorified all over the world today. And with the spreading of Krishna consciousness, his glory will spread more and more. Srila Madhavendra Puri Prabhupada Ki. Madhavendra Puri's appearance day celebration Ki. So, we didn't even start Roshanacharya. So anyway, briefly I'll just say something about Srinivasacharya. Srinivasacharya was another great devotee. Srinivasacharya appeared after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. It has been described very elaborately. It has been described in Bhakti Ratnakar, one book that describes about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime and his associates. So, Bhakti Ratnakar describes Srinivas Acharya's father was a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he never met him,
And he used to stay in a place not too far away from Navadvipa. But he never met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he heard about Chaitanya. And as a result of that, he became a devotee. Just by hearing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became a devotee. And then finally he decided to go to Navadvipa to meet Sri Chaitanya. So when he was traveling towards Navadvipa, on the way he saw that many people are walking, moving, going in the same direction that he was going. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Jai Shri 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 Naram Lakshmana Naman ki, Jai Shri Shri Gohanitai ki, Golpina. So he asked them where they were going, and they said that they were going to a place called Kantaknagar, which is known as Katwada. They are all going to Kantaknagar. And so he asked why they were going to Kantaknagar. He said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come. In the ashram of Ishwar. So this person became very excited. He said, oh, I was going to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Navadvipa, but now he already came to Kantaknagar, which was on the way, and he was actually planning to stop in that village at night. So he said, now I'll be able to see him there. So he quickly ran to that place. And when he came there, he saw that actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there to take some nap. And he became very, very, very much afflicted. And Keshav Bharata, sorry. From Madhavendra Puri, my mind went. Yeah. So he came to Kantaknagar to take sannyas from Keshav Bharata. And there was a description how Mahaprabhu was taking sannyas. Mahaprabhu had beautiful long hair, but this barber was shaving his hair. The first of all, the barber didn't want to shave his hair. Said, I can't. But then he was coaxed into shaving Mahaprabhu. Then Mahaprabhu, then from that time, this person became mad. The person who went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became, seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas, he became mad. And everybody thought that he became mad. All the time he was simply crying and calling out the name of Chaitanya. And since that time, his name became Chaitanya Das. Some who could understand that due to his intense separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he is behaving like this.
Then he got to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri. So this Chaitanya Das went to Jagannath Puri. And there he was blessed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him that you will have a son. And so as a mercy of, due to that, and he considered this to be a mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to, and when he went back home, a very beautiful son was born. And this son was not only beautiful to look at, but he was extremely brilliant, and his nature was extremely wonderful. So, this boy grew up. From his childhood, he also developed a great attachment to Sri Chaitanya. And he used to tell everyone that he wanted to go someday and meet Sri Chaitanya. So from his very childhood, he was eager to meet Sri Chaitanya. Finally, when he grew up, then Chaitanya, his father took his father's permission, the father let him go. So he was traveling toward Jagannath Puri. So on the way, he met some brahmanas who were coming from Jagannath Puri. So he asked them how was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And those brahmanas told him that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this planet. And this boy was so much afflicted knew that he would not be able to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. That night, he lit a big fire and he decided to give up his body. So, he lit the fire and as he was about to enter into that fire, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared and stopped him. And he said, "Don't worry. I will always be with you in your heart." And this personality is Sri Vaishnava. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed him to go to Jagannath Puri. And there he went to Jagannath Puri, and there he met Gadadhar Pandit. And he found that although they were there, but still, they were not actually there. They were so much heartbroken. Many of them left Jagannath Puri and went to Vrindavan, like Raghunath Das. But some were there, Gadadhar Pandit was there, Vakrishna Pandit was there. So, and this boy, Srinivas Acharya, he always wanted to study Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of Gadadhar Pandit. He wanted to study Srimad Bhagavatam under Gadadhar Pandit. And so when he approached Gadadhar Pandit and told him that, "Look, I want to study Srimad Bhagavatam. All along my dream was to study Srimad Bhagavatam under your guidance." And Gadadhar Pandit was famous for his Bhagavatam recitation. Now we can understand who is Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit. So who can understand and explain Srimad Bhagavatam better than Srimad Bhagavatam? But when he approached Gadadhar Pandit and requested him to teach him Srimad Bhagavatam, Gadadhar Pandit declined that he won't be able to. Because when Mahaprabhu was present in Jagannath Puri, then every day Gadadhar Pandit used to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. He used to sing Srimad Bhagavatam. But Gadadhar Pandit, taking mercy upon Srinivas Acharya, he gave him the Bhagavatam that he used to read from. And it has been described that the letters, many places the letters were obliterated. Because it was a Bhagavatam written by hand. Handwritten Bhagavatam on palm leaves. And when Gadadhar Pandit used to recite, then tears used to flow from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes.
And those tears had obliterated the letters, the writing which had come out. Then Srinivas Acharya was instructed to go to Vrindavan, because Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were there. So he set out for Vrindavan, and on the way he came to Navadvip, Mayapur. And there he met In Mayapur he met Ishan Thakur, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was his servant. And when he went to Kharda, there he met Nityananda, a place where Nityananda was settled down. And then he left for Vrindavan. But there also, as he approached Vrindavan, he got the news. And there also he felt very much heartbroken. But then that night, Rupa Goswami appeared to him in a dream and instructed him that he should go to Srila Jiva Goswami. And so he approached Jiva Goswami. So Srinivas Thakur was educated, or he was trained up in Krishna consciousness. Although he took initiation from Gopal Bhattacharya. He was directed to Gopal Bhattacharya to take initiation from. But the training was, the shiksha was given by Srila Jiva Goswami. And there, when he was getting training by Jiva Goswami, he met Narottam Das Thakur and Shyama. And they, three of them, became very close friends. And although they decided to stay in Vrindavan all their lives, fine morning, Jiva Goswami called. Look, you are going to Gopala. To carry all these books that were written by all the Goswamis, he was asked to leave for Bengal, carry the books to Bengal. And at that time, many very wealthy business people from Mathura were patronizing the Goswamis. And they, under their patronage, the arrangements are made. The books are kept in a beautiful wooden, large wooden casket, studded with copper and brass. And there was a bullock cart to carry the book. And there was an armed guard to guard the books. And they were traveling that way. And when they came near Bengal, in the border behind Bengal, there was a king called Veer Hambir. And Veer Hambir had an astrologer who could calculate how much wealth somebody had, or how much money one was carrying. As you must have also read about Sanatana Goswami, when he was traveling to Vrindavan, the innkeeper, when he stopped, where some of the hotel, where he stopped, the hotel keeper actually knew how much money he had from the astrologer. So this astrologer predicted that some party is coming from the west, and they are carrying an enormous that cannot be measured by any calculation, any material calculation. The king was very excited. The king was also bandit, the plunderer. So he sent his men to steal that wealth. So at night, when they went to sleep, king's soldiers came, or king dacoits came, and stole that book full of the book, that books that they were carrying. All the literature of the Goswami. In the morning, when they woke up, they found that the books were stolen. So they felt so heartbroken that they decided to give up their bodies. But finally, Srinivas Acharya told Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda to go back to Bengal, to continue their journey and go to Bengal. And he would stay back to retrieve the book. And then, through some Brahmana's help,
Srinivas Acharya got to know that the books were stolen by the king. Oh, in the meantime, when that box of books were brought to the king, and with great expectation, the box was opened, then they found that instead of gems and very precious jewels that they were expecting to see, they were just a bunch of books written on palm leaves. And the king was very surprised. He told the astrologer, "What's the matter? Your calculation never went wrong. How come you said that? How come it went wrong this time?" The astrologer said, "I can't figure it out." So he again made calculation and said that each time I calculate the same, this box has very, very precious wealth, a wealth that cannot be measured with any material calculation. So the king could understand that this book must be a storehouse of spiritual wealth. And anyway, in the meantime, Srinivas Acharya got to know that the king stole the books. Now he couldn't go to the king and tell him that, "Look, give me my books back." So he made a plan. He went to he also got to know that the king was very fond of listening to Srinivas Acharya. So Srinivas Acharya sent the Brahmana with the news that to the king that he can recite Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Brahmana went and informed that one man has come, one devotee has come to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. So so the king was interested, so Srinivas Acharya came and he started to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he started to recite, the king became so impressed. He said that, "I never heard this kind of recitation and I never heard this kind of explanation." So king said, "Please tell me, what can I do?" Then Srinivas Acharya very humbly had told him that somebody stole his books. He was carrying the books from Vrindavan, which was written by the Acharyas of his Sampradaya. Now the books got stolen. If the king could help him, just retrieve those books. So the king said, "Okay, come with me." So he took him to the treasury. And the treasury, he asked, "Is this the book for you that you're speaking of?" Srinivas Acharya. And the king became so, felt so bad that he offended the Krishna, that he decided to take initiation from him. And he took initiation from Srinivas Acharya and helped him a lot spreading Krishna consciousness. And still today, that place, Vishnupur, is known of great Vaishnavas. There are beautiful temples. And there is a typical artwork which is known as famous one as Vishnu artwork. They actually burn clay and a special way of doing it. They actually developed that art built temples there. So Srinivas Acharya actually became one of the most eminent preachers. And all three of them, Srinivas Acharya, three personalities, three very great friends who actually spread Krishna consciousness very extensively in India. Hare Krishna, thank you all very much. All glories to Krishna. I've already took up a long time, so I'll ask any questions if you want.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.